This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
So the Columbus Blue Jackets lose to the Leafs in Toronto, but come back and win the second game for them, back-to-back games for the Maple Leafs. It's a two-game losing streak for the third time this season.
And in some respects, all three games this week were eerily similar, at least a lot of similar parts, right, Gibby?
Well, they did. They started the same way down to Cobb, all three games. And this is, it's going to catch up to them. You're not going to always be able to come back, especially with the skill that you have, thinking that you're always going to be able to come back. Teams are playing harder against them. When they get up, it's going to be, I think, few and far between. The Leafs are going to start to find that once they fall behind by a couple goals, it's going to be a tough grind to get back.
Postgame Roundtable is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Believe in a Subaru at your local Ontario dealer with a $500 holiday bonus. Subaru, confidence in motion. Back to Nationwide Arena we go. Jim Ralph standing by. Ralphie, welcome in. I really liked how you summed that up. The errors were glaring, and they cost the Leafs big time.
Yeah, and it was one of those games you couldn't outskill, what was done on your own end. And yet, having said that, Hainsey's goal is bit of a senile shot from the left point, and Kapanen's goal coming off the wing sneaks under the arm. So they didn't really have much in the way of the pretty goals. And even though the Leafs were guilty of some turnovers and poor man coverage in their own zone, Columbus was the team that really scored some pretty goals, made some great plays to find the back of the net on Freddie Anderson. By the way, I don't know if you caught it. We were saying that it was the first time Freddie Anderson's given up more than three goals since the Leaf game in Dallas, a 7-4 win. So that goes back there. And that's probably another one where the law of averages says that eventually you're going to start finding the back of the net. And, for the Leafs, unfortunately, they weren't able to amount a whole lot of offense in this two-game road trip.
Well, that's October 9th, so if it happens every 2 months, that's not so bad.
No, you'll take that.
Yeah.
He's had an incredible run. Probably didn't look as sharp as we've seen him for the most part this season. Nothing horrible, but some of the rebound control wasn't as tidy as we've seen. But if there was anybody that would certainly be excused for not having a perfect night, I think Freddie Anderson would be at the top of that list.
Ralphie, Anderson's first goal, it comes off the turnover. We've seen it before. But I'm starting to see it's happening, two to three times a night where opposition forwards are standing in behind both defenders. And I think tonight the one defender was Morgan Rielly, and it was Kapanen.
Jake Gardner was the other, yeah.
Yeah, but it was Jake Gardner and then Kapanen were the two deep guys closest to Freddie Anderson. But Anderson's standing in behind both of them. The shot gets through, he gets the rebound, no pressure, no coverage on him whatsoever. But I'm starting to see that more often now with this team.
Well, I think where it gets exposed, Gibby, is if you don't win that battle that gets the puck up ice,
yeah. You're
in big trouble. To me, it's like having your defenseman pitch with no backup.
Right.
But they're doing it in their own zone, and they're sort of gambling that they're going to be. Now, mind you, it all starts Morgan Rielly trying to backhand the puck up the middle,
yeah,
and everybody was flying the zone then. So once that was turned over, and the mentality that I find that hurts them sometimes is let's swarm the puck. And it's really, one on two?
Yeah.
At the time, and then Gardner jumps up. It's a one on three, but the puck gets through. And all of a sudden,
right. There's
nobody in front. And I'm trying to think of a game we had. What was the last home game?
Columbus.
It was the same thing against Columbus. You remember the first period?
Yeah.
Zaitsev and Gardner both in the corner to the left of Freddie Anderson and nobody in front. So it's one of those things that some teams do it. Some teams do it exclusively on the penalty kill as well, where they think we're just going to overload the area where the puck is and hope that we win the battle just simply based on numbers. That's great. But if you don't, then it's like you said, Gibby, you got people behind you wide open in front of the net.
But you'd be thinking there'd be an attempt to tie up a stick or hands. I mean, he's there unattended.
Yeah, and it's the, like we said, it was a very similar to, it was Nazem Kadri, I think, was a close guy to the front of the net on the goal against Columbus. It wasn't the Atkinson goal. It was, who was the other one, Dubois? put it in where it was the same thing, wide open.
Yep.
Yeah, so it that's what happens. I mean, nobody notices this if you win that battle and get the puck out. In fact, there's a good chance you got an odd man rush because they got two guys in behind your defense. So it, I think you're noticing it more, Gibby, quite simply because you're not winning those battles.
Yeah. Ralphie, what are you thinking of Bobrovsky? I you know, from your perspective, being a goalie, it, to me at times, like on the Hainsey goal especially, it looks like he's lunging forward at pucks, and he's really kind of losing control of it some of the time.
Yeah, and I don't know what he has a stick for. Because all he does is throw it away.
It's the clear snow.
It. I know it's you know, pretty. Yeah, I don't know if. I mean, I still think he's one of the game's best, but I don't know if he looks settled. And he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. And I know sometimes they say, well, that's usually somebody's best year. And other guys, you know, you don't need the distraction. And I think from a goaltender standpoint, I don't know if it's a welcome distraction to sort of be playing for a contract. I mean, obviously, they got to get into the postseason. And then Panarin, I mean, there's another guy that is going to be up as well. But you're right. I don't know if, you know, seeing him throughout his career, if he looks as settled as he has in other years. And, in fact, when the lunging and not quite scoring up to shots and everything, Gibby, that's really what's followed him around in the playoffs when they've been out in the first round.
Yeah.
That he hasn't been, you know, the set, square, everything's easy. And even though the Leafs were unable to capitalize some scoring opportunities, there were a lot of big rebounds that were booted right back out of the slot that the Leafs couldn't take advantage of. And I think when he's on, and like I said, one of the best in the game, I don't think you see those on a regular basis.
Well, that lunging thing, I mean, that's what is that? Is that just pressing or?
Yeah, it's almost, to me, it's guessing. You know, it's I'm going to try to take up as much space over here because I think this is where it might be going. And a lot of it is, I remember when Curtis Joseph played for the Leafs, every goaltender has his bailout move when you're not feeling 100%. For Cujo's, it was to drop to his side and then throw the arm up or throw the leg up. And it was usually because it was your patience. You couldn't outwait the shooter. You wanted him to hurry up and do something, and you lost your patience with it and then started to guess. And I find with Bobrovsky, his is the lunge. I think when you saw James Reimer, Roberto Luongo, those are guys that end up face down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because their bailout move is to try to go forward and force the play. Then you get most of the guys, and Gibby, this was back in our era, where it was you pulled up. It wasn't out of fear of getting hurt, but that was when things weren't going well. And all three of those things, really, where they hurt you the most is you give up your balance.
Yeah.
And if there is a redirection, and you know, you're out of the play. So I think that's probably the big thing, although I still think he was one of the game stars here in Columbus, and I guess rightfully slow when you look at the 34-24 difference in shots. The best goalies in the league find a way to still win a game and only give up two goals, even when you may not be 100% on your game.
What's Freddie's bailout?
Freddie, he's the pull-up, where he pulls up and locks. And that's what we used to do. It was just looked worse when you're standing up. You know what I mean? see Dave Reese, Daryl Sittler night.
He pulled up a lot, didn't he?
You pull up. And that's what we did. And it was just one of those things where you thought if you did that, you were bigger. But really, well, you did that, and you were immobile.
Ralphie, what are your thoughts on the fourth line tonight? I thought early in the game they kind of gave the Leafs the spark. And then as the game went on, their shifts together. I mean, Levo and Ennis obviously had a little more time on the power play. But I thought Gauthier was good. I thought that whole line was good whenever they had their opportunities.
Yeah, and Gibby, if they could ever finish.
Yeah.
I mean, there was another one. I think Levo set up Tyler Ennis. It was Freddie Gauthier, I think, in the second period. It was an outstanding play, top of the crease, and it went off Gauthier's stick and wide. If this line could ever finish,
I mean,
if you could ever get them to be 8-10 goal a year guys, would be phenomenal. But one thing they do is they have a lot of offensive zone time for a fourth line. And one of the things I like about them is they get the puck to the blue line, And even if you could sort of try to make that pass, you know, to the wing, across ice one way or the other, they pass on it and they dump in and chase it.
Yeah.
You know, they take the safe way. So I think that keeps them from, you know, trying to think that they're that much better. I think where they've been very good is off the cycle. Lebo and Gauthier have been very good. And Tyler Ennis has shown some skill. And I think the when you look at some of the guys, I guess you, if they're the fourth line, it's the third line you look at as saying there's got to be more there. And obviously, if you can get two other guys back on the lineup, all that depth changes. But Andreas Johnsson, I find, is having a tough time being the number one guy like he was for the Marlies and coming back and getting 10 or 11 minutes. I think he's very much like Garrett Sparks, where he's a guy that's coming off being the guy with the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah.
I know Johnsson had some time with the Leafs last year and in the playoffs, but he goes from being the guy to, okay, now you're going to be a part-time player. And it's not easy for some guys to adjust to that.
I guess what misleads everybody is the sample size of what he looked like when he was with the Leafs late last year, because he looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, but again, you know, he's not playing against, you know, some of the top players. So now, because you sort of moved up in the chain to the third line, you know, you're not getting shifts with Austin Matthews has not entered, Nylander was in. He was on the ice with some pretty good players and was able to put up some decent numbers and some decent moments.
Ralphie, what are you seeing in this power play? We talked a little bit about it before, but I mean, tonight they just look like they had one or two good looks, but for the most part, A, entries, and B, people are starting to take away the options they've always been looking for. But what are you seeing?
Well, the options they're always looking for is either to, you know, well, now it's Marlowe and Kadri to the front of the net. You got Marner coming off the right wing boards, Kadri looking for the tip in front. Sometimes you've got the double tip.
Yeah.
Where you've got Marlowe at the top of the crease and then Kadri more between the hash marks, but nobody's moving.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think you've got, that's great that you've got Mitch Marner that can come off, but it's a lot easier to defend if everybody's stationary. And you can almost cover Marner, or to me, Marlowe and Nazem Kadri with the same player.
Yeah.
You know, stand with one and have the reach for the other. So I think that's part of it, is that it's just stagnant. It's not very mobile.
Yeah.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Jim Ralph reporting to us from Nationwide Arena, where Columbus has won 4-2 over the Leafs. And probably the best news for them is they hop on a plane, they come home, they play Philadelphia tomorrow night.
Well, within 24 hours.
We're going to go back now to Nationwide Arena. Here's Coach Babcock.
Okay, looks like Coach.
Hello.
Yes, Mike, the beauty of the schedule is you get to do this all over again tomorrow. Were there parts of tonight's game you'd like to carry in, at least the positive side, obviously?
Well, I thought tonight, that might have been as good a road game we played in a while, to be honest with you. I thought when you look at the series with them, it probably ended the way it should. They should have won in our building. We probably should have won in here, but that's the way it goes. I thought our guys skated good. And the puck, we turned the puck over on the first goal, then on their fourth goal. So you can't do that, but the bottom line is we played heavy, we played fast, we had lots of good things. So we got to just take the energy in the morning. Obviously, Philly played today, which is nice. Now they're sitting at home watching our game and waiting for us, but we'll get re-energized, ready for more.
Felt like the fourth line had a good start. The third line, what did you get from your
depth? No, I thought we all, I mean, we had a Tavares line dominant game, obviously. I thought we had everybody on board tonight. You know, like I said, we had that turnover, I think, right away. And then after that, I thought we really took control of the game and played really, really well. But we didn't score, and they did, and that's how it goes sometimes.
More difficult when it comes to the loss comes from a game like that. You did have a lot of play in there, and that sort of.
Well, I mean, when you win a game and you steal it, you don't think like that, do you? So I guess, you know, I mean, these things happen over. I like the way we play. If you do good things, the process normally evens its way out. I thought tonight's game was a real good bounce back from the game in Carolina. We didn't get what we wanted, which is the 2 points. And saying all that, the process was good, the work ethic was good, and we did a lot of positive things.
Would you like to see more chances generated on those power plays that you did tonight?
Well, I thought that right there, that the shorthanded goal, it was 4-on-4, and we never really got organized. We tried to jam it in, and then we took our big group off and put our second group on, and they couldn't even get organized. So that was something we had to do a better job of. Moving ahead, we know that and understand that. Can't just get chances, you've got to get goals.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Coach Babcock after the 4-2 loss in Columbus. Gibby, would you concur with his assessment of the difference between the Carolina loss and this one?
Well, we talked about it in the first period that they did have a lot of opportunities, and Bobrovsky somehow found a way to keep it out of the net. They had some chances, but to say that they deserved the win over Columbus tonight, I don't know. I got to argue that one, but either team could have won tonight as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
But if he thinks the Leafs were better, that much better than Columbus, no, I don't agree with that.
Well, maybe they were in the Columbus zone, but they sure weren't in their own zone.
No, and it's their bugaboo, their Achilles heel. Some nights they just play impeccable defense as a five-man unit, and tonight was one of those incidences and examples where you turn pucks over. Morgan Rielly, soft backhand saucer through the middle of the ice in your own zone, and it's not even 5 seconds later, it's ending up in your net. And these are the things they got to learn about that decision making process right there by Morgan Rielly. He can't look up the middle and saucer pass soft into the middle, boom, ends up in your net. It's off the glass and out. That's what a mature and experienced player would do. And now it's out of your net, and you're probably playing down the other zone.
Having said that, we could have said that any time over the last 3 or 4 years that would have been an issue on that blue line, and it's still there.
It is, and they're getting better. There's no question about it. As five-man units, they're getting better 5-on-5 defensively, but it's those little decisions. And these, you don't have to make a whole lot of them to lose hockey games. It's just because teams now, they're going to make you pay like they did before. If you make 5 mistakes like that in the course of a game, you're probably going to get scored on 3 to 5 times. I mean, guys are that good at finishing. But it's those little mistakes, those little mental mistakes and decision-makings processes that when you don't make the right decision at the right time, it could end up in your net, and it happened again tonight to Toronto.
Coming up next, the TSN Turning Point and former Leafs assistant GM Bill Waters. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
The Leafs get it up on the wing for Marner. Marner a long rink wide feed, and it bounced right over the stick of Kadri. Back the other way come the Blue Jackets. They score! Cam Atkinson stole the puck after a rink-wide pass from Nazem Kadri just bounced over his stick.
Oh, yes, that'll be the TSN Turning Point, brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. That goal happens at 16:14 of the second period. It is shorthanded, and it definitely turned. I mean, the 4 Columbus goals looked, on the Leafs' part, dopey.
Yeah, scrambly, and the panic had set in after those turnovers and things like that. They start running around, and bad things happen. That's what's going to happen in the National Hockey League. When you're not playing a well-structured defensive scheme and you have guys running all over the place, bad things happen, and it's happened again tonight.
It's the fire drill, but sometimes, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but this was like a group panic,
right,
on each of those 4 goals, really.
Right, and what good defensive teams will do is they will make the mistake, but they won't compound the mistake, meaning if one guy makes a mistake, another guy doesn't start running around, so now you have 2 mistakes, and another guy has to cover for him for 3 mistakes, and that's when you get burned, and that's what's happening now is once the bad play or bad decision is made, the turnover, whatever it is, lost battle. They care. They want to play, well defensively and help their goaltender out. But once they start running around trying to do too much, it causes a panic situation. And guys are, their breathing gets faster. They start running around trying to find a way. But tonight's just another example of that. When they cough pucks up.
Twitter account is at Real Bill Waters, and Bill Waters is the former Leafs assistant GM and is with us now. Bill, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm not good.
Not good.
No, how about you, Jimmy?
Well, I don't like...
Are you happy with the team's performance?
No, absolutely not. I don't. That's one of my least favorite things to do is watch the panic drill after a turnover. I don't like that.
Yeah. No, after... Now I'll answer the question. I'm well, thank you. I never get to the point. But I watched the game, and I said to my... On Wednesday, I said, how can a team that wants to play in the first, or the upper echelon of their division, allow the Carolina Hurricanes 29 shots in one period? And I don't have any explanation for that. I don't know whether Babcock has or not. Then tonight, what's so important, more important to the Leafs in getting the first goal? Who gets the first goal and how do they get it? The highest paid defenseman on the team pulls the chute in the corner. He's afraid he's going to get whacked. He gives it up. It's out in center ice. Anderson scores 1-0. Okay, we come back 2-2. What does the highest paid forward do? He takes two penalties in the second period. Then they put him on the power play that immediately follows the second one that they killed, and he lets Atkinson go around him like a hoop around a barrel. Mr. Tavares and Mr. Morgan Riley, you cannot allow that to happen. That doesn't happen when your highest paid players make gaffes like that, whether it's mental gaffes, two penalties, or not taking Atkinson down somehow, or in Morgan Riley's case, you got to put that puck against the glass. You got to do something with it. These guys are their best players. When your best players cost you the winning goal and the first goal, the rest falls in place.
Bill, Jim and I were talking about it prior to the start of the game tonight, and you know, you talk about trends and falling behind early, but does it look like they're relying a little bit too much on Freddie to hold them in games so that they can fight back?
Well, no. I, Greg, you've been through this business. You know it. Backwards, forward. Did you ever play on a team that did that?
No. Gosh, no.
No, exactly. And no, I don't know what it is. I really don't. And the problem you're going to have with Columbus, and you better get ready for it, because they're a big, strong team that have a much better defense than the Leafs. They have goaltending that compares, and they have a tough group of offensively talented forwards. I don't know if anybody has the talent of the Leafs at the forward position, but tough is the operative word. And when it comes to playoffs, this team is going to be trouble for the Leafs, and any team that's like them is going to be trouble for the Leafs. And I don't know what the Leafs are going to do to address it, but it'll be interesting to see between now and the end of April what they decide. Pardon me, not the end of April, the end of February with the trade deadline.
Yeah, I love that point, Bill, because the further they go in the playoffs, it's inevitable that they're going to have to get through a pretty thick defensive unit, whether it's Tampa, whether it's Columbus. I mean, it's inevitable that that collision's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, they can't avoid it. And if you look at it now, Buffalo's in first in the Atlantic Division, Tampa's in second, and Toronto's in third. It's Tampa and Toronto. See ya. Good night, nurse.
Oh my goodness!
So it's not too bad, because you know I'd like to think there's something they can do. I'm at a loss as to what it can be. I don't know whether this next week will be a revelation to what management is thinking, but they have to find somebody to play defense that is more reliable than what they have. And I know that the poor defense keep getting the brunt end of it, and maybe they shouldn't. When your fourth line is better than your second and your first, and I'd like to say that Gauthier's line was tonight, Kadri's line got a goal. I thought that the other line with Par Lindholm and Brown and Andreas Johnsson were very strong. So when your bottom two lines are better than your top two, who are you trying to fool? You're not going anywhere.
Well, Bill, whenever you're looking at this team and we're talking about the grit factor, I guess you could say, you know, a lot of the times that the general manager he has the vision of what the team's going to be. Mm-hmm. And when, like, my question last year was over the course of the summer was when they let Martin and Komarov go. But if Kyle Dubas and Mike Babcock don't have the same vision of the kind of team, because Mike Babcock's always had some grit in his lineup everywhere he's coached. There's no two ways about that. Right now, he does not have that. So do you think going down the road they will even be looking at that type of piece to add?
Well, you know, if there is a conflict with the general manager and the coach, and based on the philosophical analysis of yours, which I think is very reflective of what it really is, they've got more than a tough guy argument. They would have an argument tonight on the plane ride home. How did the two boys make out that went to Philadelphia and Carolina as our backup goalies? Well, one got a shutout, and the other, I think he got a shutout too. He got two shutouts. Then I would say, oh, by the way, could one of you road secretaries look up the intra-league draft and the history of it and see the last time that an NHL team gave up two goaltenders in one intra-league draft, and within 2 months of it, they both had shutouts? I'm exaggerating the point, but it's there to be made. That was a terrible pilfering of the Leafs' depth, and I thought at the time it was not very smart. There had to be a better way around it, or there had to be an improper evaluation of one or two or three of the goalies. All three could have been improperly evaluated, but in the case of McElhaney, I thought that he established himself as the kind of guy you could put in position and not worry about for at least a year. And that didn't happen, and it's a craw in my little bag of tricks, but in fairness to Garrett Sparks, he didn't do that. He was a victim of whoever decided that. But I would think that Babcock's not very happy with that, and he needs toughness, and he knows he needs toughness. Everybody in hockey knows the Leafs need toughness, and I'm not talking about beating up on people. I'm talking about a Josh Anderson type hockey players.
Yeah.
Nick Foligno, Dubinsky, they've got six or seven of those guys that come out and really play tough hockey.
Yeah.
And they almost got Washington and didn't, so I suppose the purists would say, well, see, you don't need them. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there's a happy medium. You can overdo it, but
right.
You can't underdo it. You cannot underdo it. You will not win the Stanley Cup unless your team is tough enough to stick its nose in on the first turnover of the game, to stick his nose in when he has to put the wood to Atkinson going around him. They're unacceptable.
Yeah.
And you don't pay people to do it. You just expect them to do it. The more talented you are, the more likely you are to have a thinking man's head on your shoulders and do those things that you have to do to keep your team in the game. And in the case of tonight's game, the two highest paid players at their respective positions gave the game away.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up, Bill, again, is because I recall the comments that Mike Babcock said about, and I can't remember whether it was over the course of the summer at the beginning of training camp, but his comments on Washington. They were one of the biggest teams in the National Hockey League that last year, and they played that way, and they had pieces like that. So that's why I like to talk about that, because when the coach picks that out, I think there's other people listening.
Yes, and when you have the pièce de résistance in Tom Wilson, it makes all of those big guys look even bigger and tougher, and they really aren't. Nobody fills the role of enforcer / hockey player better than Tom Wilson. I think he single-handedly won the Stanley Cup for the Washington Capitals, and I don't know that we'll ever find that out, but that was my feeling as I watched it evolve.
Bill, I want to go back to what you said about the goaltending in terms of the analysis. I used to have a Blue Jay theory that I think was borne out. They were trying to win, but they were trying to build for the future. You can only do one thing. You can't do both, and look where they are now. And so I'm going to ask you, based on the goaltending situation, based on a decision that we'll find out in the next week or so to sign a forward for what we don't know, these are hockey decisions. You can't do two things at once. You're either trying to win the cup or you're not.
Yeah, I agree. And in the case of a rookie general manager, I can't blame him. I think Brendan has to take most of this responsibility. A, advising Kyle Dubas when to sign these three guys. The time to sign them was do the prep in the summer. Do the prep before you get into training camp. Know what you're up against. And they didn't. Know the agent. Know what his track record is. This guy has always taken whatever good clients he's had to sitting out. Whether it's sitting out in Calgary, in the case of Johnny Hockey, whether it's sitting out Martin Saint-Louis and getting him to Tampa in a very fortunate move. But still, that's what it's all about. That's his style. And so we should have known that and should have been prepared. And that's the end of criticizing a young general manager, because that's not fair. But those things and the goaltending thing, I just, as much experience as I've had in the business, there had to be a way of taking a chance on losing Garrett Sparks. That's what it was all about. And so who do you think was going to take him? I don't know. Anybody that watched the Marlies play last year knew what happened. They had a team that was loaded. Their goaltender was adequate. That was it. He was adequate. But as an adequate goaltender with a team as strong as the Marlies were, he was reflective of being much better. He's not. He's not. And that's too bad. I hope that doesn't. But that goes back to whether, are you going to win the Stanley Cup, or are you going to develop a goaltender who most people think has reached the zenith of his career? And if you're going to try and win a Stanley Cup, or as we say, try and win the first round, you keep McElhaney. That's where the whole thing fell apart.
Bill, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, boys, I'll talk to you next Wednesday when all will be well, and I will be feeling much better, I hope.
I might actually be talking with you before then, but we'll see.
I understand that. Louis called me, and he missed me. So you'll be talking to me.
Okay, thanks very much.
Take care, Bill.
Bill Waters, former Leafs assistant general manager, the Twitter account at RealBillWaters. Some in-depth analysis there.
Yeah, and it's from a very intelligent and observant person that's been around the game of hockey for years and years. And, you know, even though the game's changed, it hasn't changed that much. There's still some dynamics that carry on for forever.
Well, player agents have their style, and you have to know what it is, right? I really like that point.
Yeah, no, there's no two ways about it. And, you know, they're going to put together the team the way they want to, but there's some things. I mean, they got a heck of a hockey club. There's no two ways about it. I'm not going to take it away from it. But is there a piece here and there that they can add that might add to what they have?
Well, the next week's going to be really fascinating.
Yeah, another skill guy that, you know, likes to play on the perimeter and all that stuff, which is fine. I mean, you need skill. There's no question about it. But is it going to address the other parts that maybe, or part that maybe they might need to go far and deep into the playoffs?
Well, I think that's the relevant point is at some point, whether it's next week or in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline, there's an element missing. Regardless of whatever the record is, there's an element missing.
Unless somebody within the stable right now is going to bring that and change all of a sudden and bring that style of play.
We have some post-game sound from Kapanen, Anderson, and Hainsey, and also the TSN, the Leafs on TSN panel. That's all next. The out time for network operators is 10:30. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
And against the boards on the far side, Oshiganov digs the puck free and gets it over on the near wall. Played back to Hainsey at the point. Long shot, scores! Ron Hainsey from the blue line. It may have gotten tipped, but it finds the short side, and it's 2-1.
That happens at 16:16 of the first period, and based on how Bobrovsky seemed to be fighting the puck, that comes off a face-off win. Everybody thought Johnsson may have touched it, or even Connor Brown, but Hainsey a seeing eye shot, and you're thinking, okay, this is going to be an interesting night based on a number of opportunities, but it wasn't.
Well, it's not, and you know what? You keep seeing it over and over. We saw it, Morgan Riley's shot against Kincaid when they played New Jersey. I mean, throw pucks to the net, because if there's a screen by his own defenseman or your one of your forwards, you're taking the eyes away from the goalie. It's hard to pick it up coming through bodies, and it's just another example. Wrist shot to the net, and sure enough, in it goes. And hey, you see more and more of that now.
Riley on Kincaid was one of my favorites.
Yeah, then he apologizes. Yeah, I wouldn't be
dude,
doing that.
Dude, it's behind you. Yeah, it's over there. It's
pick
in the
it up.
The yeah, could you get it for me, please?
Yeah, the refs can't get in there. The camera's too big. So,
Ron Hainsey, postgame.
Chris brought up a point that maybe the game that Toronto should have won could have been tonight as opposed to Monday night. Is that just the way hockey goes sometimes?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we did a lot of things that we wanted to do. Some things that we didn't. Whenever you give up four, whatever the circumstance, you're not pleased about that. A team that wants to be solid defensively, obviously. couple pucks, you know, floaters and pucks bounced in and scrambly plays. It's hockey. They're a good team. They found a way to win. That's the way it goes. We'll be ready to go tomorrow.
What's usually key for you and Morgan going against lines like that?
I mean, there's a lot. You know, you want to keep them on their half of the ice as much as possible. Don't give them any space. I could be here all day. But keep them off the board one way or another. Didn't do that tonight. That's bottom line.
Your goal, just a matter of getting a puck on net. I know you had Johnson and I think Connor in front to help out.
Yeah, that's all Brownie. Great effort by him getting in front, taking his eyes away. There's no goal without presence there. And I think Johnny kind of might have flashed by also, which makes it even harder. So that's the goals. For the D, when we're out that far, that's all about the forwards taking his eyes away, and you know, forwards get credit for that.
In general, what did you see at 5-on-5? Did you like most of what you saw?
A lot of things. I thought we had a lot of good shifts in their end, a lot of time in their end. It seemed like we had a lot of offensive zone draws, so we were keeping them kind of on their half. You know, like to get more than two. Their goaltender played extremely well. They battled very hard, and you know, they got some great skill. They had some chances where we were going up ice, some odd man chances the other way, or pucks in front, and they found a way to get those in.
That is Ron Hainsey after the 4-2 loss. Just a thought here, Gibby, on the goaltending. So Monday night, the Leafs win, and Anderson's the number one star. Wednesday night, Carolina wins, and McElhinney's the number one star. And tonight, Columbus wins, and Bobrovsky's the number two star.
Yeah.
So if you're winning, suddenly your goalie's good.
Well, I told you, good goalies make great coaches.
I mean, but it's,
and smart coaches.
We've got three games here, and right. It's three goalies that are the stars, so I don't know that anybody rides anybody.
Well, that's the league now. If you don't have good goaltending, you're going to struggle. And, you know, you look at the three stars every night on every game. We could probably go through every game tonight, and I bet you the
not enough time,
three quarters.
Sir.
No, I know, but I bet you that three quarters of them, one of the goalies is in there.
Yeah, so if you're on a winning streak, well, you're riding your goalie. Well,
yeah,
it's part of the team.
Yeah, he's one part of the team.
Yeah.
But it's just the way the game is now. If you don't have good, strong goaltending, you're going to struggle.
But if a guy got five goals in seven games, you wouldn't be saying you're riding his goal scoring.
No, but he's a consistent contributor. I mean, that's what you'd want, right?
Yeah, so, I know. It's just the goaltending thing seems to be a negative. But anyway.
No, it's not a negative. It's
when you're talking about people who had a rough night, Morgan Rielly was -4. That's a tough one.
You throw soft saucer backhand through the middle of the ice, you deserve to be a minus, maybe not a -4, but yeah, there was two or three plays there that he was a direct, I don't want to say influence in the outcome, but he had something to do with it.
Morgan Rielly, post game.
They make you pay for what mistakes were there here tonight, Morgan. It was too tough to get away.
Yeah, they played well. You know, not the way they wanted to go, but back at it again tomorrow, so got to refocus.
What was the biggest challenge for their top guys tonight?
They played well. I mean, you know, we know what to expect. We played them like a week ago or so. So, you know, they did a good job. Came out. They got two in the first again, like the last game. Not what we wanted, but it is what it is. You know, I thought there was points in the game where we played all right. But, just didn't get it done. So, like I said, back at it tomorrow.
Any point fatigue play a factor for you guys? No. And all that? No.
Again, all right, we'll let you go, Morgan.
Morgan Rielly, not very happy after the 4-2 loss, but said it best, another game tomorrow night. Here we go.
Well, and then that's what you always want as a hockey player, is you, within 24 hours you get to redeem yourself, and especially at home, coming home after a tough loss and playing a team that won 4-0 today in their own building. So, you know, there's going to be an emotional part of it with JVR coming back with the Flyers, and it's going to be another hard-fought game. Philly's starting to get their feet underneath them a little bit. It'll be interesting to see who they start tomorrow, because all their goalies are struggling outside of you-know-who.
Yeah.
And he won today, so shutout again today. He may play again tomorrow. But
Pickard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
Picard.
It'll be... Yeah. Whoever you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Picard. But it's going to be a challenge for him. Just do it. Because Philly plays a hard game, too.
Kapanen got his 10th, and he has certainly turned heads with the, I guess, the absence of Nylander. But here's Kasperi Kapanen post-game.
No worse for wear for a real tough collision going into the end boards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, stuff like that happens. I was going pretty fast and, you know, going against Scotty, and I kind of just, you know, lost my edge there. But, you know, it's all good.
In general, Are you pleased with the way the team played at 5-5 this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't count the the start there and you know, our line was on the ice when they scored the first couple goals, I think other than that, I think it was a pretty solid game. We were shooting the puck a lot. We were in their zone. Just lost the puck a couple times, a couple turnovers, and they capitalized on that. So, that's about it.
How are you feeling physically with all of the games you guys played here the last couple weeks?
Good. I mean, we knew we were coming into this Cali trip that, we're going to be playing a lot of games, and that's fine. I mean, we're teams in good shape, and, I feel great.
You had a chance to play an old teammate in JVR on Saturday in your young career. What is that like going up against a former teammate, veteran as prolific as James was in Toronto?
Yeah, obviously he was a big part of the team for a long time, and, I'm sure it's going to be a great night for him and our team. But, we just got to get focused for tomorrow and be a little bit better.
Get a rhythm on the power play of late. It felt like that Monday you didn't get a chance, and that kind of maybe throws it off a bit.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can really hide behind that. I mean, once you get a chance on the power play, you've got to execute, and I feel like we didn't do that today.
Do you feel a different confidence now when you're coming down in spots like that, shooting the puck? Like, do you feel like it's going in now?
To be honest, I feel like before I just probably just curled up and tried to find somebody. Now I'm just trying to shoot the puck a little more, and it just seems to be finding that.
Thank you.
Kasperi Kapanen after the 4-2 loss. Just looking at James Van Riemsdyk today, he was +1 in the Flyers' 4-0 win over the Rangers. Curtis McIlhenny did allow a goal, but he was a game star as Carolina won 4-1. And, of course, Mr. Pickard was a game star with the shutout. So there you go. You win, you star.
Well, your goalie does.
Yeah.
Sure. There's no question about that. But, two solid goalies that are proven. You got to move on from that. It's all changed now, and Garrett Sparks is a backup, and I assume we're going to see him tomorrow. I think that's the way it's probably going to be.
Yep.
So he'll be in for a test. He's getting the second night of the back-to-back, some travel, a tough schedule that they've gone through. So he's going to have to be on his toes.
Could be a battle of the waiver decision.
Could be. Yeah, it'll be interesting if Pickard plays tomorrow. I don't know if Philly goes with their back-to-back or they have a different plan, but... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he plays. I think he will play because word coming out of Philadelphia is that he's been the best goalie.
Oh, just like in Carolina.
Oh, yes, guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yes, guy. Yeah, hey, that's good. New opportunities.
Yep. From the Leafs on TSN, the panel, here's Andy Petrillo.
Thank you. Alongside Dave Poulin, Jeff O'Neill, Bob McKenzie. You know, it's pretty crazy how tight the race is in the Atlantic Division. The Toronto Maple Leafs, one of only four teams in the league to already have 15 wins. Problem is, three of those four teams are in the Atlantic, including the Buffalo Sabres. And Bobby, what a difference a week makes.
No question about that. Welcome to the modern day National Hockey League. You know, a week ago tonight, we were doing the Anaheim game. Toronto wins that game. They follow it up with a win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And yet here they are, back-to-back losses. And suddenly, instead of being first place overall, as they were one week ago tonight, they find themselves third place in their own division. Now, a lot of that has to do with the Buffalo Sabres being as red hot as they've been, 8 wins in a row for them. But Toronto looks up and finds themselves looking at Buffalo and Tampa Bay ahead of them. And even the Montreal Canadiens, who are now 3 points behind the Toronto Maple Leafs in that fourth spot in the division or the wild card, they picked up a point, the loser point against Buffalo, and get 1 point closer to the Leafs. So top and bottom, there's some pressure on the Toronto Maple Leafs, even as well as they played big picture this year.
And it's very difficult to win in the National Hockey League when you start every game down 2-0. They got away with it against Columbus the last time on Monday night, down 2-0. They came back to win against Carolina, down 2-0. I think you got about a 65% chance of winning once you score the first goal. When you get to 2, and you look at the way their coach wants them to start on time, they didn't tonight. Missed coverages, backhand saucer passes up the middle, lack of physicality in front of the net. You cannot win in this league starting every game down 2-0.
And part of the problem is when you're battling back like that, it takes so much out of you. And, you know, you don't think as clearly when you're in that position. So Leafs get back to 2-2. They're on a power play, and arguably their best puck manager and their best guy on the transition, Mitch Marner, makes a flat pass across. It bounces over Kadri's stick. Jake Gardner's changing, and all of a sudden Cam Atkinson's coming back the other way on Tavares, and that ends up being the winning goal. Second turnover on the fourth goal, Mitch Marner again inside the blue line, and Morgan Rielly, who had a tough night as well, gets outbattled all the way back. And Hannah Kanyon scores to make it 4-2. So it's so hard to battle back from those deficits. Get on the power play, just that little bit of relaxing and a couple of costly turnovers.
Well, despite the back-to-back losses on the road, the Leafs 9 road wins, still top in the league. But now it's time to head home for 3 straight, where they've won 3 straight.
That is the Leafs on TSN panel. As we go to break, our man Gibby is ciphering through all the NHL summaries tonight to find out how many goalie stars they were in a busy night in the NHL. That fact is next. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Trying to work in with a backhand that was blocked, and it is Kadri pushing it ahead, and now Kapanen trying to get by. Kapanen working in off the wing with a shot. Scores! Kasperi Kapanen ties the game. Happy days are here again.
His 10th of the season. One thing I will say about the guy, he scores an eye-opening goal. He has you riveted when he's skating down the ice, doesn't he?
Oh, his speed's unbelievable. And, you know, when Scott Harrington took him out of the play, it should have been a penalty.
When he slid into the boards, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Intentional or not, he took the backside of his skate at his right leg, almost like a slew foot, only it was with a stick. I don't think he meant to do it, but it's still a penalty. And he went in hard because, can he fly? I'm telling you.
Did you do your ciphering?
I did, Jim, but I couldn't get through a lot of them. The first three that I checked, Rangers nothing, Philly 4, Lundqvist was the second star, and Pickard was the third. Anaheim beat Edmonton 2-1. Gibson from Anaheim was the third star. Winnipeg and many beat Winnipeg 4-2, and Stalock was the third star, and the next two didn't have a goalie in it, and that's as far as I could get. I had to keep going back and forth, but there's a good percentage night in the National Hockey League. The goalie is in that situation, first, second, or third star.
And I don't want to take anything away from them because they're all good. But yeah. I think, you know, when you look at a 4-2 game or a 3-1 game, if you're only allowing one or two goals, I mean, that's worth something, isn't it?
No, absolutely. There's no two ways about it. And it's interesting. I'm going to go through the rest of them, but it is interesting to see how many times they pop up in the star situation.
Sure. Hence the analysis. They're riding their goalie while he's on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're riding the coaching, right?
Well, I mean, tonight, the jersey game, I mean, whoever was in net, I don't know who was in net, but faced 42 shots. They ended up, I think they, what did they do, beat the Islanders, I think?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so 42 did they? Shots.
No, the Islanders beat them.
Islanders beat them?
In overtime, 4-3.
Yeah, in overtime.
And none of the goalies were
none
stars.
None of the goalies were stars. So.
No, well.
Anyway, 40, whatever the shots were to 35. I mean, that's a busy night for any goalie.
We talked about this, and one of our Twitter fans, at JagJam55, has tweeted in his Nylander with Leafs lineup. So he has Tavares between Marner and Hyman, Matthews between Kapanen and Nylander, Kadri between Marleau and Brown, and then on the fourth line, he's got Lindholm, Janssen, and Levo, which is probably just one off what you had. You had Janssen maybe out and Ennison.
And Ennison, yeah. Those two I think are going to flip-flop. I think Ennis right now deserves a position over Janssen. Janssen's working, but I think Ennis has proven that he could be a good fourth-line guy for this team.
But I think the major point is Matthews between Kapanen and Nylander,
yeah,
and Marleau would slip back with Kadri, which is, you know, they're playing together now anyway, so that's a nice move.
It is, and I think it'd be a great fit there because, Kasperi Kapanen brings the same assets that Zach Hyman did for Matthews and Nylander last year, only he's got more skill and more finish, and boy, can he skate, so he's going to make those other two skate with him, and I think that's a good line combination.
Well, one thing is pretty clear. The decision-making is going to be really interesting to track over the next 6 to 8 months.
Well, it is.
Starting with next week.
And when this season's over, it'll be interesting to see how everything's going to play out with the rest of the guys that are looking for contracts.
Plenty of storylines, that's for sure. And the one tonight is Well, they couldn't get it done. Columbus wins 4-2. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and good night to the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.